critical web accessibility tips. Hello, and welcome to WebAx episode 25, about impairments and assistive technology. Before we get started, I wanted to take care of some house cleaning here. First of all, well, I guess I wanted to mention that I got a new headset, but I tried talking on Skype with it, and I tried recording this podcast, and the volume was really low, so I ended up going to my old one that's falling apart, but it works much better. And I wanted to mention that there's a couple things to look forward to for WebAx in the future. A gentleman at webaim.org, one of my favorite accessibility websites, has agreed to join me in a podcast, so look for that coming up in the near future. Also, a gentleman in the Ann Arbor area here, the same vicinity that I'm located in Michigan, has his own web development company, and he may also be joining forces with me for this podcast and something else called Refreshing Cities. We're looking to at refreshingcities.org, and we're looking to start a chapter for Detroit. Refresh-detroit.org is the URL if you want to check that out. Okay, so let's get on with it then. About impairments and assistive technology. Let's first talk about impairments or types of disabilities. I briefly covered this in a previous podcast, but we'll go over it again. There are four or five main categories. I guess standardized categories for impairments. Or labels for impairments, and one of them is visual. That's pretty straightforward. Anything from color blindness, you know, to glaucoma to full blindness. The next is auditory or hearing, and that is pretty self-explanatory. That's just if you have if someone has any hearing problems and would not be able to take advantage of any audio on a website. The next category is motor, and that relates to people who have difficulty using computer because of their physical limitations or their limbs. An example is a person who's paralyzed, or it could also be a person with maybe severe arthritis and can't really click a mouse very well. Another category is cognitive, and issues with that include memory problems or lack of attention, problem solving, some kind of, you know, verbal comprehension or linguistic problems, math comprehension. These are things just to consider for a fully accessible website, you know, why you should make the navigation easy to follow and keep it consistent, and also to keep the language clear and simple so that anyone can easily understand it. Now, I've just gone through the four basic categories of disabilities, but the WebAIM website actually added a fifth recently called seizure, which is, you know, all about avoiding flickers and flashes and everything on the website, so that people with different illnesses, so that your website does not cause them actually to go into seizure, which is actually possible with flashing and other different kinds of imagery. The Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, Section 508, and I'm sure lots of other guidelines out there on accessibility. You'll find in, they talk about this quite extensively, actually. Now, those were the WebAIM guidelines. I also found, the WebAIM categories for disability, but on another accessibility site that I came across, they talked about the same kind of thing, but they had a little different categorization I thought was interesting. They had visual, they had hearing, or auditory. You know, auditory and cognitive, but instead of dividing the motor and the seizures, they made a fourth category called neurological disabilities, which combine those two things. Okay, so anyways, that's enough about types of disabilities, but the reason why I went through all those is because now we're going to talk about some adaptive technologies, or you could say alternative input devices, that people with these types of disabilities use to access your website. So while we're going through these, you know, keep in mind some of the disabilities that we just went through, and, you know, think about what it would be like to have that disability and to use these devices, and how much easier it would be if your website was fully accessible. Now, people with, you know, visual disabilities that are blind are going to be using a screen reader, or they're going to want to increase the size of the text, or have good color contrast on the web page. And those are all things that were previously mentioned in this podcast and are in most of the accessibility guidelines, so pay attention to that. But we're really not, you know, talking about different input devices, because that's actually, I have to correct myself from earlier, I misspoke. Mostly we're going to be talking about is the motor disabilities, because that really affects the input device that the user is going to be using. But to belay the point one more time, people with auditory disabilities, they're going to want to see, you know, captioning and things like that. And then I mentioned already the cognitive disabilities is to, you know, make sure the language of your website is clear and simple and the navigation is consistent and easy to use. All right, but for the motor disabilities, let's go through a bunch of different kind of assistive technologies on a person can use. The first one is a mouth stick, and it's basically pretty self-explanatory. It's a stick that's placed in the mouth and held in the mouth, and then the keyboard is activated with the stick instead of, you know, the person's hands or fingers. And it has, you know, a rubber tip at one end for the mouth and a little plastic rubber feature on the other end. And it's really actually quite popular in assistive technologies because it's, you know, much more inexpensive compared to some other ones, and it's easy to use. Another device is the head wand, which works in a similar way, except for the wand or the stick is attached to a head device, and the person can move his or her head and access the keyboard that way. Another device is a switch, or single switch access, and this is available to people with a very limited mobility. And a person with the thumb or the side of the head could activate the switch, and the computer would interpret the input and do what the user is asking. A similar device to that is a sip and puff switch, which is inserted in the mouth, and it actually interprets the user's breathing actions and interprets that as on or off signals, and can be interpreted in a similar way by the computer as a switch device. Now, there's a couple devices that kind of have to do with what I mentioned before about like severe arthritis or you know, people who don't have too good a control of their hands. One of them is an oversized trackball mouse, and that's a pretty large device that is stable on a desk, and it has just one big huge trackball in the middle, and there's four buttons around it, and so it's much easier to control than a standard mouse. Another device is the adaptive keyboard. It looks kind of like a normal keyboard, but it's adapted. It's a little more simplified and adapted for people who lack precise movements in the hand. Now, there's also some a couple other assistive technologies: eye tracking, voice recognition software, and other things. But keep in mind that most of these technologies basically will mimic a keyboard. So that's why it's so very important to go through your website or website you're working with and ensuring that you can access everything using a keyboard. Okay, so that's it for this episode. I just want to let you know I did kind of follow the WebAIM assistive technologies page as a guideline for this episode, or the second half of the episode. But I also did use a couple of the resources that I have on my podcast entry on the blog. So go to webx.blogspot.com and check it out. There's an Adaptive Technology Resource Center by the University of Toronto, which is pretty good. It discusses some other devices I didn't mention, alternative keyboards and mouse, but also like some Braille tools, closed circuit television tools, and a couple other things. So check it out. Thanks again for listening. This is Dennis, signing off. Catch you next time. You can find the WebAX blog and podcast at webax.blogspot.com. webaxe.blogspot.com. Email WebAX at webax@gmail.com, or simply leave a comment on one of the blog or podcast entries. WebAX is brought to you by Check Engine USA, website tune-ups and overhauls. CheckEngineUSA.com.